Ron Blue was my contact here in Tulsa for Swanson Broadcasting. Gary Swanson was a member of the Swanson frozen dinner families, and that's where their money came from. And then they why they chose broadcasting as an investment, I really don't know. Gary Swanson had a stellar reputation in town. Ron Blue, by that time, he had been in part of the great raft race, the beginning of it. And then Ken Greenwood, of course, was there back there, too. But I came then to town to talk to Ron Blue and Gary Swanson. And I'll never forget, I was in their office, and they had listened to my tape and all that, and they interviewed me. And then they went out of the office and went down the hall and came back again. They said, well, we've decided to hire you. We'd like to have you part of our meeting. They took me to the Summit Club, I remember, and this was tall cotton stuff for me, and we had lunch. And so they hired me. So that's how I got in. So it helped that I was fired from WOW because it gave me morning show experience at KOIL. It helped me that KOIL was taken off the air because then it put me here and my 30-year stay of KRMG. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when we look back on a path that has been built for you unknownst, you say, okay, I know now why these things happened to me, why these people were put in my way to help me.
So you're a believer in predestination.
I don't know, but if that's predestination, then I'm a heavy believer in it because I am walking the path of whatever was determined for me. Yes. So then, you know, when I first came to town, I had no idea that KRMG was the station in this town. It was the station. They had ratings that were bigger in the morning than all television morning had all put together. They were just huge. Now, I know you worked for a radio, for rock and roll radio as a newsman.
Right, KAKC.
Right, right. But KRMG, at that point when I came in 76, mm-hmm. had the largest command of the entire community and was well, well respected. And Ken Greenwood was the one that put them on that. When you were at KAKC, KAKC was bigger than KRMG.
But it had started to fade. It was the original rock and roll station,
right.
Like your situation at KOIL. But that happened in the big years at KAKC were the 50s, late 50s and 60s. And sometime in the 70s, it had started to fade, and KRMG began this meteoric rise.
And that's when Ken Greenwood then did away with the CBS syndicated programming, and then they began to play music and all and news, driven news. And the thing that put KRMG then on the black was their coverage of weather and tornadoes, even to the degree that the newspaper would criticize them that they overdid it. But it put them on the map because of weather and the tornadoes. I just fell into a very huge stage.
Right.
I was there on something, and I'll never forget Don Cummins, who was our newsman and character cut up. When I came and sat down, we visited, he said, John, you have no idea what's about to happen to you. And so then I was there about a week or so. No, I didn't leave. I had this idea in my head that I picked up in Fargo, North Dakota. Dewey Berquist was the somewhat eccentric weatherman, TV weatherman. He talked about Mount Fargo, and people would laugh because Fargo, North Dakota, and that area is so flat you can watch a dog run away for 2 weeks. So that was funny. But when I came to Omaha, Nebraska, and Council Bluffs, Iowa, is right across the way, I said, well, I'm looking at the Council Bluffs Mountains, and it didn't click. So I kept that idea in my head, and I'm in Omaha for 5 years. I come to Tulsa, and I see hills, and what I see around here for this flatlander are mountains. And so I said, well, I'm looking out my window here in Liberty Towers. We were on the 23rd floor. I'm looking at the Oklahoma Mountains, and it still didn't click. And something told me, John, you got to drive this some more. And one day I said, boy, those beautiful Tulsa Mountains are out there. And that's when the barn door opened. And it became the biggest way, I would imagine, to introduce a newcomer on a radio station in a town that he never lived in. Because the whole town started talking about this character who's talking about Tulsa Mountains. And it was fun controversy. You don't know what you're talking about. A mountain is 8,000 feet tall or whatever it is, and then none of us do that. And they'd argue what a mountain is. And people knew what I was doing. Some of them did, and some of them didn't. So some of them knew what John Erling was doing. He's making fun. He's just having fun. And these people would call, and they'd argue with me. Well, where are the mountains? Well, I'd say out in Sand Springs area, you just go on out there, and you look up there, and those are beautiful mountains out there. And then I had a guy from Rogers State College. He started calling and playing along with me, and he developed the concept of Parton's Peaks are out there, and Pantyhose Run are out there. And so all of this was just, it was made, a public relations person could not have invented a tool to introduce me to Tulsa. Then we had billboards with mountains and me and my ski outfit. And then we'd take ski trips to Oklahoma, to Colorado.
Bumper stickers.
And then we had a song that was created. And the Tulsa Mountain song. And to this day, people will say, yeah, I remember when you talked to that trucker. And there was a guy who would come through from Missouri, a trucker, and he'd hear me talk about the Tulsa Mountains, and he'd hear all this. And once in a while, he'd stop and call, and he says, what are you talking about? I says, yeah, we have beautiful mountains here. And then one day on a Saturday morning, I get a call from a young man. He says, well, he says, my dad's a trucker. He'd been through here. We have all our ski gear on, and we just came to Tulsa. Can you tell us where the Tulsa Mountains are? And that was on the air. And I said, well, just a minute. I don't have much time to talk now, but I'll tell you off the air. Well, off the air, I had to. I said, I am so sorry, guys. This is just a joke. I'm just having fun with this. And your dad heard me talk, and then he just laughed. And he says, hey, we understand. We're going to have fun in Tulsa anyway, so no big deal. Well, that trucker, I recorded his phone call one day. He says, my son's come down here. And he says, and then you tell him there aren't any mountains. He says, are you crazy? Is there something wrong with you? And I kept saying to him, but listen, do you believe in the Easter Bunny? And he never caught it. Do you believe in Santa Claus? I tried to get across to him on the air because I never in all my time ever admitted on the air that this was just fun. It was a hoax. And so I tried to get that through to him. Well, that phone call, then we interlaced that in our Tulsa Mountain song, and it became a bit that was a lot of fun. And people to this day will still say, man, I remember the day you talked to the Tulsa Mountain. He became known then as a Tulsa Mountain truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
But then, after 6 months, I quit KRMG.
Why?
You like to follow my quitting. I quit.
Now, keep your resume intact. Only work for a short time anywhere and then quit or get fired or the station goes off the air.
That is right. It had been my dream to work in a major market. And KMOX was a CBS-owned and operated radio station in St. Louis. And WCCO in Minneapolis was my dream station. That's where I wanted to work. Those were the big boys, the Roger Erickson and the Charlie Boone. I'm going to be mad at myself if I can't remember more names. And Howard Viken and Joyce Lamont and all those people. You talk about people who were bigger in your heads than any Hollywood star. It was WCCO Radio. And one day I had gone to WCCO Radio and talked to the program director about a job, and he wanted to know where I was. And I suppose by that time I was in Omaha. And he said, well, let me put you in the studio and record it. And I'll never forget. I went in the studio, and I knew I was in hallowed ground. And my nerves, my arms, my hands were shaking. I was so nervous when I did that. They wanted me to read a news stories and do some commercials. It was just nervous. I'd hate to listen to it now. Then the general manager called me in, and he wanted to know more about me. And my community involvement and all that, which wasn't much. So I left and continued my job. Well, I had also sent a tape into KMOX in St. Louis. And they called and they said, we'd like you to come. And that manager was bigger than life in St. Louis. And he said, we'd like you to come and audition on the air.
How long had you been at
6 months.
KRMG.
6 months. So I said, that would be wonderful.
But the Tulsa Mountain thing had happened.
It already started, right.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm up for that. I'll come to St. Louis, and I'll do my show on a Saturday morning. And I go into that radio station. And fortunately, we didn't have to run our own board there. We did, you know, these other stations. So you had an engineer and you're working with you. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? Well, I knew the phone was my bit. And if I could get these people to call about maybe old buildings in St. Louis, say, and the phone was hot. And I got them to talking about these old buildings and what they remembered and all that. And I did that for 3 hours. And the guy called me and he says, well, I like what you did. He said, I'd like to hire you for do afternoons here at KMOX. So I went home, told Ron Blue I was going to KMOX. And I went to KMOX. And I realized there's a pattern here. When I did afternoons, and by the way, Bob Costas, who's now very famously instilled as an NBC newscaster, he had just graduated from Syracuse University, and he did sports in the afternoon. He was 21 or 22 years
Bob
old.
Bob Costas?
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best broadcasters who ever worked, and probably in sports he's the best, actually.
And he was a very very friendly and all, and he and I bantered quite easily on the air. I also have a in the time I was there, never forget Jack Buck, the longtime broadcaster of the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's enshrined in their Hall of Fame right now at KMOX, and his son Joe Buck is broadcasting now. But Jack Buck saw me across the way in the studios, and he made a point to walk over to me and shake my hand, and he says, I just want you to know you're welcome. It's good to have you here at KMOX. And this guy was bigger than the Statue
sure.
of Liberty,
right.
That he would do that kind of thing to this young broadcaster. I've never forgotten it. What a kind man. I can almost tear up talking about that. So I was introduced. And then, you know, after a while, after I said, this is KMOX St. Louis, after a while, I thought, you know what? It's no greater thrill to say KMOX St. Louis than it is to say KRMG Tulsa. And so after 2 weeks, I quit. And I walked in to his office. It was on the 5th of July. And I walked into the manager's office of KMOX, and I said, you know, I'm a little nervous the way you keep moving people around. And you at the last minute, you'll move FM people to here and that. And I said, that makes me nervous. It makes me nervous that you're going to move me from 4 to 7 to some other time. Well, no. And I said, you know, he says, I'll pay you more money to stay. He says, I was listening to you last night. I did a show from the hotel in downtown St. Louis on the 4th of July. And it was sports-driven and baseball. And so I'll never forget how I was getting calls from New York City, and I was getting calls from all these areas, and that just threw me. But, of course, it was fun because I had never had that wide reception. They, too, were 50,000 watts at night, so they were just going all over America. And I got these calls from Easterners and so forth, and that was a thrill and fun. But something inside me said, you know, this isn't going to cut it. And so when he says, I'll give you more money to stay, I said, I'm sorry, that will not cut it. I am done, and I'm leaving. Now, I had called Ron Blue ahead of time, and I said, can I come back?
Smart move.
And Ron said, yes, would you give me a job? He said, yes. And I said, the morning show? And he said, yes. So,
boo, yeah.
I moved. But there's a moment there.
Nice 2-week vacation in St. Louis.
There was a moment there I had taken an apartment. Of course, family hadn't moved. I'd taken an apartment, which was upstairs. The day I was going to go in and tell the manager of KMOX that I was leaving, I walked down the steps. No, I'm going to go to the station and tell him. Now, do you realize, John, this is what you've lived for, is to work in a major market, and KMOX is one of the best-known call letters in the entire land. It's like KGO in San Francisco, WCCO. I can go on and name the main line. Now, so I walked back upstairs again. I sat down. Now, John, there is something that's not right about this. You're nervous about him moving you, and it's not a big thing deal for you to say those call letters. It's just another radio station is all it is. So I went back down. I did that two or three times, up and down the steps, until finally I said, no, I am going to go. And I did what I said I did. And then I went to the manager of that of the apartment, and she says, well, I sure hope you find what you're looking for. And you know what?
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
I found what I was looking for and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here, and I took off. And I remember Bob Hauer was on Channel 8. He came to our house in Tulsa here, and he interviewed me because I was coming back to town and all that kind of stuff. And that was kind of a big deal. So then I came back, and then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Before we leave that business, there is a this topic. There is a phrase that's very common in the broadcast business, which is major market. And virtually everyone who is not in a major market thinks, as you did, as I did once or twice, that things are going to be different in that major market. So the other phrase that goes along with that is, there are no major markets. You can move to wherever you want to move, but unless you're comfortable, the job is where you ought to be, where you can call it home.
Right, right. Because you still had human beings around in KMOX. Mm. They were still were human and all that kind of thing. And I also knew I was never going to make it to the morning show there because they had two entrenched longtime news guys, really, that were doing the morning. Mm. And so it was a newsy, newsy, newsy. And the kind of fun things that I did would never transfer to KMOX.
We should mention that the morning show is the holy grail of radio. Monday through Friday mornings, drive time, is the number one slot in radio anywhere.
As for you, as a TV newscaster, you know, the 6 and 10 newscasts were the holy grail of television stations.
Right.
And we should point out, you too left here, and you went to major market. And which major market did you go to?
Los Angeles once and New York once.
There you go. See? Yeah. And then you came back too, didn't you?
Right.
And
I
you
did.
Quit those stations and
yeah,
came back,
I did,
didn't
I
you?
I did.
Anyway, so Clayton, he knows moving to a bigger market and then probably realizes, you know, it's fun. You probably have a bigger impact, but I couldn't know how I could have had a bigger impact on a great community. The only thing I could have had, I think of Wally Phillips at WLS in Chicago, and he had that town wrapped up, as in WCCO, to have a bigger town that you have wrapped around your little finger. Maybe better, bigger than, say, Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I had the same feelings in Tulsa, in radio, as those guys did in those bigger markets.
Sure.
And I had no idea what was going to happen, what was happening to me.
And as far as radio and TV is concerned, it's not a competition in the sense that you're talking about.
Right.
What it is just a different thing. You know, we're just a couple of fish in the pond.